thankful that God has again been merciful to us and granted us another opportunity to be able to worship Him in spirit and truth. I'm thankful to see each and every one of you. It's certainly encouraging to me to stand before you on the Lord's Day and have an opportunity to present another message from His Holy Word, the Bible. Thankful for all the visitors that we have with us. We hope that you'll come back and be with us at every opportunity that you have. It's good to see each and every one of you. This morning, I invite you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 17. Luke, the 17th chapter. It's an important topic that we're going to be talking about this morning. In fact, anytime we look into the pages of God's Word, regardless of what we talk about, it's important matters. And we know that we're dealing with the Word of God and not with the words of mortal men, that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. We read in Luke chapter 17 about an incident when the Lord was in His travels and was busy about going from place to place and doing all the miracles that He performed and so forth. And we read about this incident when the Lord performed a miracle, Luke chapter 17. I want us to talk about that for just a little while this morning. The last phrase found in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15 that was read in your hearing just a moment ago said very simply, "Be ye thankful." If I asked you this morning, how thankful are you for all that God has done for you? What would you say to me? We talked about in the Bible class this morning about being so busy nowadays that we're always rush, rush, rush. Do we ever stop to think about the many blessings that God has richly bestowed upon each of us? Do we? And are we thankful for what God has done for us? You know, the Bible talks about being thankful over and over, such as in Psalm 26:7, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Can we relate to that? That with our voices that we are always thankful for what God has done for us? Or Psalm 100 verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. How thankful are we for all that God has done for us? I want us to think for just a moment about the thankful leper. Again, this is Luke chapter 17. We're going to begin with verse number 11. Luke 17, verse 11. And it came to pass, as He went to Jerusalem, that He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as He entered into a certain village, there met Him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lift up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." You think of all the times that the Lord in the New Testament had compassion upon other people and showed forth mercy toward others. Here's individuals who were unclean by the standards of the Old Testament law of Moses. Individuals who had this dreadful disease and were commanded because of their uncleanness to reside alone outside the camp of God's people. And as the Lord was traveling, He met this group of 10 lepers that had this horrible disease. You might want to sometime maybe even Google it and read about leprosy. It affected the nerves and had tumors and just pain and agony. Often disfigured individuals. And here was 10 men that had this dreadful disease. And they cried out and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when He saw them, He said unto them, "Go, show yourselves unto the priests." You can read about that in Leviticus chapter 14. Actually, Leviticus 13 and 14 talks about leprosy and how they were to view it and what they were to do until an individual was pronounced clean of this disease. "But go and show yourselves unto the priests," the Lord said. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Had we been in this individual's shoes, what would have been our mindset? Had we been in the shoes of these 10 individuals, had this horrible disease, and cried out unto the Son of God, Master, have mercy on us, and as we went on our way, we were cleansed, how would we feel? Would we rejoice? Would we offer praise to God? Would we give thanks to God? That would have been a reason to rejoice. You remember back in 2 Kings chapter 5 about this story of Naaman, a man who had leprosy, and his attitude, and ultimately he submitted to what the man of God told him to do and was cleansed. What would we have done? These people were cleansed as they went on their way. And notice, if you will, Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give God glory, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. What would we have done in a situation like that? I don't know. I know what we perhaps like to think that we would have done. But here were these individuals that were cleansed, and guess what? Only 10%, 1 out of 10, came back to thank Jesus. What would we have done? I want us to think about that in the lesson this morning as we think about being thankful to all that God has done. When we read about Jesus, we read that He performed many miracles. We don't know how many. In fact, the Bible mentions that if all the things were done that Jesus had done had been written in the book, then John said, I suppose then not the world itself could contain all the books that would be written. John chapter 20 and 21 talks about that. But I want us to think about Jesus from the standpoint of the miracles that He performed. It was prophesied that the Savior of the world, the Messiah, was going to be a miracle worker. I'm not talking about the miracles that people proclaim to do today, where they just say, oh, there's a miracle that was performed and you see, no, change it. That's not a Bible miracle. In Bible times, when true miracles were performed, it was evident. You could see it. Not couldn't be denied. Now, a lot of people still disbelieved in this, despite of seeing the miracles that were performed. But these were undeniable miracles. And the Bible says that when the Messiah came, that He was going to be able to perform miracles. Now, for some reason, you can't see that, so I'll put it this way, you can see them. Isaiah 35, 5 and 6, and Matthew 11, verses 2 through 6, talks about the fact that Jesus worked miracles. I want you to think about for just a moment that one of the proofs that Matthew uses to substantiate the fact that Jesus was a prophesied Messiah was the fact that He worked those miracles. All through the book of Matthew, we read these recorded miracles. In fact, Matthew chapters 8 and 9 have 5 miracles in each chapter. And I want to go back and read those. But the Lord was able to perform these miracles. And they produced belief many times. Many times it prompted individuals, such as in the case of the one leper, that returned to give thanks to God. It prompted worship to God, or glory, thanksgiving to God. The beginning of miracles we read about in John the 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 11, the feast that the Lord attended, this wedding that took place. And you can read about that. Verse number 11, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifest forth His glory, and His disciples believed on Him. John chapter 2, and verse number 11. Again, countless miracles performed in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, when John gave really the purpose, the essence of why he wrote this book. He stated many other signs, verse 30. Truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. If you look over in John chapter 21 and verse number 25. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. We don't have a record of all the things that our Lord did. But I want you to understand the compassion that He had in His willingness. When these men cried out and said, Lord, have mercy on us, Jesus did that. And I suggest to you today that the Lord is still having mercy upon individuals. God is still being merciful to individuals. In fact, 2 Peter chapter 3 talks about the long-suffering of God, His salvation, His mercy. The fact that the Lord has not returned down to this present time is a token of His good mercy toward individuals today. You may be here this morning and have never obeyed the gospel of Christ. God wants you to do that. He's been merciful to you and granting you another opportunity to hear the good news of His Son. I led to believe, as we already mentioned, John chapter 2, verse number 11, verse number 23 as well. And I want you to notice John 11 and verse number 45. John 11, verse 45. Then many other Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on Him. Showed He was approved of God. Acts chapter 2, verse number 22. When Peter was preaching to those Jews about Christ, he said, you men of Israel, this Jesus, He was approved of God with these miracles, wonders, and signs that He did. It showed that He was approved of God, full of compassion. Matthew 9:36. And over and over and over throughout the New Testament, you read about the compassion of the Lord. Matthew 9, verse 36. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with what? Compassion. And He said, the harvest truly is plenteous, verse 37, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. And there's some other verses that you can look at and read about. Mark 1, 41 is another example of the Lord being moved with compassion. Here was another incident. There came a leper to Him, beseeching Him and kneeling down to Him and saying unto Him, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. And Jesus moved with compassion. Puffed forth His hand and said, I will, be Thou clean. I want you to think about that. Here were individuals that had this disease that, by all means, you weren't supposed to get around them. It was contagious. They dwelt a very isolated life. And this man came to Jesus and said, if you can, or if you will, Thou canst make me clean. And the Lord said, I will, be Thou clean. I'm thankful for all the examples in the New Testament of the compassion of Jesus. In Luke 7, verse number 13, another statement that we have in the divine record that says, and when the Lord saw her, He had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. I motivate you. I encourage you to know that Jesus is a compassionate person toward others. In John chapter 4, verses 1 through 25, you can read that. Write that down and read it in your time. And the Lord was having this conversation with a lady at the well. Lord, don't you know that Jews don't have any dealings with Samaritans? The Lord gave that great statement, John chapter 4, verse 24, that they that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Go back and read that sometime. But He had a conversation with this lady. And we can learn from it and benefit from it. Psalm 136, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. I encourage you to go back to Psalm 136 and see how many times out of those verses that are in that chapter, the phrase, for His mercy endureth forever, can be found. Go back and underscore that each time in that psalm. Are we thankful for the mercy of God? I want us to think about some things that we can be thankful for. Prayers are laid in. Oftentimes, rightly so, we talk about what we are thankful for. God, we're thankful for all of Your blessings. We're thankful for the opportunity to be here. What have you given thanks for today? Each and every day of your life, what do you give thanks to God for? Do you have anything to be thankful for? I suggest to you, on the darkest of days, our cup runneth over. We have so many things to be thankful for, even especially in the great country that we live in. I know that certain events, the leaders of our country have really been discouraging and disheartening. But we still have so many things to be thankful for. And I want us to think about a few of them just for a moment. Matthew 5, verse number 45, when the Lord is giving the great Sermon on the Mount, notice what He says. Matthew 5, verse number 45. He says that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. There are physical blessings that we have. Physical things that God has blessed each of us with. Before I got up this morning, probably many of you were up before the sun even came up. I don't know. But each time that I wake up and the sun is shining at home, I think about how beautiful it is. Just a beautiful morning that God has blessed us with. Beautiful sun, it's a beautiful day, and here we are. Are we thankful for that? You're a recipient this morning of those blessings. Many of you have gardens, and they've been well watered. Many of them have. Had a lot of rain. But we're a recipient of that. God has blessed us to have the things that we have. And everybody this morning can be thankful for that. You've received those things. Everyone on the top side of God's green earth has something to be thankful for. Think about that. No doubt you're going to leave this assembly this morning and you're going to go have a nice Sunday afternoon meal, aren't you? Going to have lunch, probably already know what you're going to have. And then you're going to probably sit back and just enjoy a nice Sunday afternoon in a nice, comfortable chair or bed in a nice, air-conditioned home. Oh, we have so much to be thankful for. And as I look out of the assembly this morning, I look out and I don't see one person here that is not clothed. And I'm thankful for that. But you ought to be too. That you are blessed with clothing. Just recently, I received a message from an individual through Messenger and just had some really good conversation with some brethren from some other countries. And they recently had a flood and many of them lost their homes and lost a building where they assembled at, had to repair it and all that. And the question he asked me was this: Brother, can you help me and some of my brethren buy some rice? That's what he asked. Now think about that. And here we think sometimes, well, we don't have anything to be thankful for. And yet look at what we eat, look at what we have. There's probably not a one here today that has to worry about where tomorrow's meal is going to come from. You probably have things stocked back in a pantry, refrigerated goods, frozen goods. See how blessed we are? But have we thanked God? When we think about Luke 17, here was this great miracle that was performed, this great show of God, of Christ's compassion and mercy on these individuals. Where were the other nine at? Could they not as well have turned back to offer thanks to the Son of God for being merciful to them? Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Still included in the Sermon on the Mount, but the Lord stated, again with verse 25, He said, "Therefore I say unto you." And throughout the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is talking about our dependence upon God. Remember what's called the Lord's Prayer? It's really the model prayer, but "Give us this day our daily bread." From day to day, our dependence, reliance upon God. And He says in verse 25, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on." And a lot of times we are just drugged down with worry about things that we shouldn't worry about. He says, don't take thought for those things. "And what you shall put on, is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore," and here's the conclusion of it, here's what he's teaching them, "wherefore if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? For wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof." Do you have anything to be thankful for? So many things. But there's other blessings that I want us to think about for the rest of our time together this morning. That's spiritual blessings. Not only do we have things of a physical nature that everybody receives, the sunshine, air, water, the blessings that God bestows upon all of His creation, but we have spiritual blessings. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 3, that those spiritual blessings are located in a specific place. And I want us to look at that. Ephesians 1 verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." You ought to underscore that, "in Christ." Because He's talking about spiritual blessings. Being in heavenly places, being in Christ. First one I want us to think about is the forgiveness of sins. Are we thankful for that? That God loved the world and made every provision for that, that you and that I could have the forgiveness of our sins? I don't mean just a partial forgiveness. I mean complete forgiveness of everything that we have ever done, if we'll only obey Him. No, God didn't have to do that, but by His grace, through faith, we're saved. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8. Because of His love for all of the world, everybody, that includes every one of you, beginning here all the way around the room, God loved you, wants you to be saved, sent His Son to the world. You know John 3:16, probably the most quoted, memorized verse in all of the Bible. Probably. Because of God's love for the world, He sent His Son. We read about the compassion that the Lord had in Luke 17, but what about the fact that it didn't stop there? The fact that He went to the cross willingly and shed His blood for all mankind. I'm thankful for that. What would be our condition had the Lord not done that? The Hebrew writer stated that without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sins, Hebrews 9:22. John stated that He has washed our sins away in His own blood, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. Where would we be had that not took place? Eternally separated from God. Our sin separates us from Him, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. But thanks be to God that He made a way that we can have the forgiveness of our sins. That's made available to all mankind. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 says so. That the grace of God which brings salvation hath appeared unto all men. Because God wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. That's what He's done for you. But my question is how thankful for you, are you for that? Have you done anything at all about that? When we think about the blessings of God, how thankful are we? Would we find our place among the 9 lepers? Or doing what the one did as he turned and went back and gave thanks for what had happened? Where would we find ourselves? How we live our life demonstrates how thankful to God that we are for His many blessings. But what about prayer? What about prayer? The ability to be able to make our requests known unto God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 20. When he talks about praying without ceasing, verse 17 rather, of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Pray without ceasing. What a blessing it is that we can go to God in prayer. Do we do that? That we can give Him thanks, and not only that, but we can ask for help in time of need. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 4. He says in Hebrews 4, verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, or as a result of what He accomplished, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What a privilege it is for us to be able to go to God in prayer. What a blessing it is for us to be able to do that. But that's a spiritual blessing that not everybody enjoys. They can enjoy it if they'll obey it. But you see, the Bible says that when we are separated from God, that He will not hear our prayer. Again, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 talks about that. Or John 9, 31, now we know that God heareth not the words of sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of Him and doeth His will, Him He heareth. If we'll obey Him and live faithful to Him, then He'll hear our prayer. And He'll incline His gracious ear to the prayers of His saints. What a blessing it is. Are we thankful for that? How often do we pray to God? And for what do we give God thanks for? Do we pray for one another? The Bible talks about that. James 5, 16. Confess your faults one toward another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Do we pray for one another? But here's another spiritual blessing. Fellowship. I'm not talking about coffee, pancakes, or what have you. I'm talking about a spiritual fellowship with one another, those of like precious faith, with God and with His Son, Jesus the Christ. If you turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1, you read about that fellowship. 1 John 1, verse 3, he says, "That which we have seen and have heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." Verse 7, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." See that stipulation on that? If we walk in the light as He is in the light. That's a great spiritual blessing that we have, to be in fellowship, a joint participant with God and with His Son and with one another. We need to be thankful for that. The church. I'm thankful for the body of Christ. I'm talking about some religious organization that some group of men or some man decided one day to put together. I'm talking about the one you read about on the pages of the Bible. The one that Jesus, in no uncertain terms, said, "I will build." Matthew 16:18. I'm thankful for that. Because in Acts chapter 2, upon obeying the gospel, the Bible says that the Lord added the saved to the church. Acts 2:47. Now, folks, He didn't make the mistake in adding to the wrong one. It was the only one that was in existence. His church. That He purchased with His own shed blood in Acts 20:28. That the Bible says He is the Savior of, Ephesians 5:25. The head of, Colossians 1:18. And He's its one foundation, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 11. I am thankful for the opportunity, the blessing, or the privilege to be able to be in the body of Christ, the church of Christ that you read about in the Bible. Are you? Done anything about that lately? Perhaps you never obeyed the gospel. Never obeyed the gospel. The Lord will never add us to His church where the saved are. We encourage you to do that this morning. Are you thankful for it, the church? Do something about that before you leave this morning. Again, God has been so merciful, but folks, the doors of mercy one day are going to be forever closed. Gone. Time will be swallowed up in eternity. Never another opportunity to do what we know we ought to be doing this very day. Why spurn the invitation? And hope. Hope that is in Christ. Hope of better things to come. Hope that we read about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 13, that when Paul said, "Brother, I would not have you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope." He's talking about the hope that we have in Christ, that when we die, there are better things to come. And Paul talks about that in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. John wrote about that. That crown of life, if we'll endure to the end, if we'll be faithful, steadfast, until the end, Revelation 2:10. Better things to come, but that's in Christ. I would be derelict of my duty if I stopped the sermon right there and talked to you about spiritual blessings that are in Christ and then tell you how to get into Christ where those spiritual blessings are. In the book of Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 28, Paul, in writing to the church at Galatia, wrote to them and he penned these words. He says, "Therefore, we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Now, I want you to turn there and notice what he said, because it hits to the heart of the matter. When we're talking about getting into Christ, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Paul said that we are in Christ, we put Christ on when we are baptized into Christ. There's no other way to be in Christ. And if we're not in Christ, then we don't have all these spiritual blessings to enjoy. They're there. They're there. God wants us to enjoy them. but we have to obey Him on His terms. He goes on to say, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, for there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. How do we get in Christ? We're baptized into Christ. Then He goes on to say, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Again, I ask you this morning, how thankful are you for all that God has done for you? The thankful leper of Luke 17, what a great example that is for us. Have you obeyed the gospel of Christ today? Faithful to God, Philippians 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That's how you become a Christian. Though the world may stand for another 2,000 years, I don't know, that will never change. Jesus said in no uncertain terms that His Word would never pass away, Matthew 24, 35. And if you want to become a Christian, this is what the Bible says you have to do. This is not the works of men. This is not the teaching of the Church of Christ. This is what the Bible says. To hear the gospel, Romans 10, 17. You can't obey what you don't know. You've heard the truth. Do you believe it? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Jesus said, except you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins. John 8, 24. Are you willing to repent of all of your sins, everything that you've ever done? Give it up. Turn from that which is wrong to that which is right. Luke 13:3, Acts 17:30. A host of other passages talk about that. Willing to confess your faith before those present this morning that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Matthew 10:32-33. Jesus said if we don't do that, if we deny before men, He'll deny us before His Father which is in heaven. But if we confess Him before men, He would confess us before His Father which is in heaven. And are you willing to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins? Acts 2:38. To arise to walk in newness of life, having been added to the church of Christ by the Lord. Will you do that? Are you thankful for what the Lord has done for you? Are you thankful for what He has made possible for you in your lives? We encourage you to obey. But perhaps you have done that, you've fallen away and you've turned your back on the Lord. You're not living right. You realize that you're not. Why not repent of those things? Make confession to God in prayer. We'll pray with you and for you that He'll restore you to faithfulness. If you're subject to the gospel call, we encourage you to come.